Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you at 8:05 in the clock. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everyone.
We got Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in a little bit.
Woohoo!
An Iowa town is asking, hey, does anybody know where we put that time capsule? Anybody?
Please.
Please?
Please.
Please? Like a map? Map with an X. Anything. We're going to get into that a little bit later as well.
making fun of Iowa.
That's coming up. And speaking of the Midwest, let's go ahead and kick things off right in our home area here.
Yeah.
The greatest part of America. I'm obviously very biased about that, yeah. Being a proud Midwesterner.
Doesn't mean you're wrong. Doesn't mean you're wrong.
Well, wait. Am I a Midwesterner? The question is asked.
The burning questions of the day.
What if you've called yourself a Midwesterner your whole life, but it turns out you aren't one? There is a lot of debate over which states are actually in the Midwest. So someone did a poll that found that there are exactly 13 of them.
Okay.
Now, I right away want to start off with, there are quite a few people, I don't want to stereotype and say everybody on the West side, the West Coast, but so many people I ran into on the West Coast, it didn't matter when they'd ask you where you're from, and I'd say like, oh, I was born in Chicago, but I live in Wisconsin now. That didn't matter. To them, Chicago, Milwaukee, New York, everything, it's all just one conglomerate.
Mass, yeah, it's
just
a mass.
One jumbling of things. I don't know if it's the same way on the East Coast. I've never really spent much time over there.
It is.
It seemed like it when I was in South Carolina.
Yep.
It did seem that way a little bit.
The only difference is that on the East Coast, they're very aware of the West Coast. So there is that for them. It is flyover states. I mean,
sure,
everything in the middle is like meh. But then it's because they're very for whatever. It's very one sided because they're very competitive with the West Coast. You know, like LA. You know, even though in LA they're like yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
exactly. Yeah, they could not care less about New York or any of that. one thing I found interesting too is that the way that the South is very respectful to the whole rest of the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the South is very specific about states, and where if you are from this state, you are a Midwesterner. If you're from this state, you're an East Coast,
or that
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That I thought was interesting the time I spent down there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll dive into this and see where we stand on this one. More than 50% of Americans said each one is at least partially in the Midwest. Here are all 13 states, starting with the ones that got the most votes.
Okay.
Only 5 states are considered to be fully in the Midwest: Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana. Iowa and Kansas were voted the most Midwestern. 5 more made the cut pretty easily: Missouri, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Ohio. At least 55% of people think of all of them as at least partially in the Midwest. Then it gets a little more interesting. At least 3 were barely above 50%. North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Michigan. So South Dakota gets in, but North Dakota doesn't.
And I have so many problems with this already. So many problems with this.
I guess I kind of get where they're coming from of Michigan, but I don't. I don't at all.
No.
I don't understand that at all. Why would... I don't know. 7 more states were options but didn't make the cut. 43% think Colorado is in Midwest.
No.
Nope. Arkansas. Nope.
Nope.
Kentucky and Wyoming.
Nope.
Nope.
What? What? No.
Yeah. Montana. What? No.
No.
West Virginia. No. In Pennsylvania, now that's just wrong.
That's just ridiculous.
Up. Now you're starting to anger me, actually. You're starting to get,
this is a burning topic, I'm telling you.
This is the people that they're just looking at the Big Ten schedule.
That's
like, hey, Penn State, just because Penn State is in the Big Ten
doesn't mean it's in the Midwest, yes.
For me, I actually have always thought that it was, when I thought of the Midwest, I have always thought of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Really? Okay.
That's basically what I thought the Midwest was. Yeah.
I was going out on a limb on that one because I wasn't sure if I was alone. It's one of those things you start saying it and you're like, okay, I guess I got to finish the sentence now. But yeah, I don't know if I've ever really felt like I don't have an argument. I'm not going to fight Kansas on if they're a Midwest state or not. Because I don't really consider them necessarily a southern state either. They're kind of, being in the literal middle of the country, they're kind of in that tough spot.
Yeah.
Where do you consider them?
Yeah, because for me, you know, I do not consider, even like the Dakotas, Midwest, because that's the start of the plains, and that's for the plain states. Your Kansas, Nebraska, all of those states, for me, South Dakota, North Dakota, are in the plain states, and then you get to the mountain states when you get to Colorado, and Wyoming doesn't have a lot of mountains, but they're in that general area. Montana's a mountain, Idaho. So I'm not sure where, maybe people just want to be in the Midwest more. I don't know. Is that attractive to be in the Midwest? I don't know.
So they come from, this article comes from YouGov, who do a really, really good survey.
Oh, excellent. They have excellent surveys, yes.
Really do. Mm-hmm. But I would like them to start like doing just with all of these surveys.
Yeah.
Where did this take place? Was it online?
Yeah.
So that like people around the country were doing it? Or was this like a little shop and like they were outside of a grocery store in California? Like with a survey, you know, thing or what? I want to know where they did this survey or
it's
how it was done.
Yeah, it really is.
Not to fight people on it, because but I want to know, like, well, is this just what people on this part of the country think, or is it really the whole country that thinks this? I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah. And we also have to keep in mind, remember that a lot of the borders of the states, you know, are pretty arbitrary for where they are. And so, I mean, you're from Illinois, okay?
Yeah.
There is a big difference between the culture of, like, Chicago and Southern Illinois.
Right.
Those are very different things. Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana tend to be more Southern in their outlook, you know, from the South, the old, you know, the old South, I guess the Deep South, because of where they are. I think they have more in common with the South than they do with people like from Wisconsin or from Minnesota, just because of the way that culturally, you know, it happened that way. And so parts of Ohio is too, I believe, because it's Ohio's a pretty big state, so.
That you actually just set me up perfectly.
Oh, great.
First, I want to reference, it's like one of the few books that I actually recommend to people, How the States Got Their Shape.
It's a great, that's a great book. I've only read parts of it, but it's good.
It's a short read, and it's one of my favorite books of all time. Mm-hmm. It is such a cool book, and it is based on Mark Steyn's book, How the States Got Their Shape.
Yep.
I'm sorry, it's based on it. It is about that. There was a TV show called it, too.
They did just a show about it, yep.
I got confused for a second there. My brain is not working with me. If you are interested in history, especially if you like American history, it is one of the best books you could ever read. It is so cool
it's
to see.
Fascinating,
how,
yes.
If you just take a look at our United States, like just a look at our map, and start on the East Coast, where we kind of got this ball hole thing rolling and everything.
Yep, that's right.
And the craziness of how all that is. And then how it slowly starts to get a little more formed. And when you get to like Kansas and stuff, and a lot of the squared states constructed a little bit better. And then you go out to the West, and all of a sudden it's all crazy again.
And
it's all silly and everything.
And huge. The states get much, much bigger.
I don't think a lot of people know, I don't think it's common knowledge that Texas at one point used to go all the way up to Idaho. There's so many cool things about it. It's a very cool book. I really encourage you to read that one. And read. It's good to read.
I was going to say, I don't have any problem with encouraging people to read any books.
Yeah.
Give us books. We like to know about this. So.
The other thing I thought was, well, we've got this whole kind of survey thing saying it. What makes a Midwesterner? What makes you a Midwesterner?
Almost as contentious, yes.
There's an interesting list here from Insider.com we're going to get into, but off the top of my head, two of the first things I think of is you cannot call yourself from the Midwest if you say goodbye within a minute. If it takes you less than a minute or a minute to say goodbye, you are not from the Midwest.
I have to agree with you. That's a great yardstick. Because I think you're right.
It is literally humanly impossible for a Midwesterner to, hey, see you later, like that to end.
Then turn and walk away,
nope,
right? Yeah,
doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. Now, I believe in all of human history, as long as there has been a Midwest, that has been a thing.
Okay, everyone out there who's listening to my voice right now, if you have lived in the Midwest, you have heard this. Well, looks like we should start getting ready to go.
Yes.
That's where it starts.
Yeah.
But then that means you still got like 20 minutes before least, you're going to be leaving. Yeah.
You don't even need to put your shoes on yet.
No, you don't.
You don't even. No, no. You don't even. Nope. No, you're so right about that. It's such a good one. Such a good. There's a lot of people right now like lowering their head. Like,
I've done that. Yeah, oh, yes, you have. You know who you are.
And I will say this, and I say this from the deepest part of my soul. We have a way we treat each other. I know, especially here in this state, you guys like to pick on Chicagoans all the time. Chicago, unlike most major big cities, Chicago is still one of those cities, and I'm not saying this is every Chicagoan, but the overwhelming majority, and I'll put my name on that, if you're in a hurry, you're running into Union Station, and you have somebody, a Chicagoan, in front of you, they're going to hold the door open for you. The elevator, they're going to hold the elevator open for you. They may not ask you how your day is. They may not make eye contact. They're city people still.
Yeah, city is city. People are city people, yeah.
But they have a Midwestern city mentality.
They do.
In that one. I think I noticed that in St. Paul. I've noticed it in Milwaukee. There's a, so I think that, that's Midwestern kind of the way we carry ourselves, the way we treat our fellow human beings. Is this a little different here? I'm not saying it's better than the way they do in the South or the East Coast or the Plains. We just have a different way we do it around here.
You know, it's funny because, you know, it's that because I'm trying to think of the difference like in the South and here, because people in the Midwest and the South are both polite to strangers and everything, where people in the South tend to be more let's see, like chummy, I guess is the way to say it, you know, because then they'll take more time to say, you know, like, oh, who, you know, where are you from? That kind of stuff. In the Midwest, we'll do that a little bit, but we tend to keep it shorter. You know, for whatever reason, it's like, you know, we're kind, but like you said, we're not exactly going to ask you, you know, how your day is or, you know, what your life story is. In the South, you might get that.
You might.
You might.
You're probably going to get up the story, though. So this insider list, the number one thing on here they have is it's pop, not soda. But that doesn't – I know a lot of Midwesterners, like everybody that I know from Illinois calls it soda. When I came here, I got made fun of by some kids, but then I met other kids that did say soda.
Wisconsin is a weird state because it has sections where they say soda and sections where they say pop. Throughout Minnesota, it's all pop.
Is it?
All pop in Minnesota,
There's got to be a cornfield in your state. You have to have a cornfield.
That's true.
Somewhere in your state, you've got to have a cornfield. You take football very seriously. Like in the South, it's a religion.
Yes.
And it literally is. And any Southerner out there that disagrees with me, please, james@wfhr.com. But I don't feel like I'm going to get a lot of emails on
that.
No,
you won't. You won't.
But we take it on a different. I don't mean on a different level as far as more seriously or less. It just is different for us.
Yeah.
Because when it's not just football. It means winter. You know, spoiler alert, winters here are a little different than in the South, you know?
just
a little different.
In case you hadn't noticed yet.
We need things to look forward to in the winter. We need things to keep our spirits up. We need things to keep our enjoyment levels high in these things. I don't think you can take that lightly, the way that we feel about our football teams.
Yep.
Whether it's college, pros, especially high school. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Midwest and the South love their football the way they do.
I think it's a little bit different in which kind of football is loved in the two different things. Because my parents have lived in South Carolina now for, you know, over a decade, and they found out down there it's all, I mean, college football is the biggest game in town. High school football is right up there with it. The NFL, not so much. Unless Miami, maybe, but they're kind of down in their own little spot in Florida. Right. But you're talking about Jacksonville, you're talking about, you know, the Falcons, you're talking about the Panthers. Yeah, they have, you know, good fan bases, but it's nothing like college football down there. I would say up here in the Midwest, the NFL is the game. Yeah, we like our Badgers, you know, and all that stuff. But I think NFL is still the big game in town. Because of the history with the Bears, the Packers, you know, that's because we have that history here. They don't necessarily have there.
You don't necessarily, just because you draw out your A's doesn't mean you have an accent. Yeah, you do. Yeah, we all do. We all do.
Our O's, by the way. It's O's.
Everybody's, and that's not just us. It's everybody. Every American has an accent.
Yes,
it's
we
just
do.
Whether you notice it or not.
Exactly.
I had a great friend of mine growing up. His dad had the most stereotypical Chicagoan accent I've ever heard.
Chicago.
Yeah, you talk like that there, you know, all the time. And literally the only Chicagoan I've ever known in my whole life that talked like that. Like, that's it. The end of list.
That means that he actually cultivated it. He really did. You can change your accent.
I love my cousin Deb to death. She's amazing. But she moved to South Carolina, and like 2 days later, and she had talking like this. Honey.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
My, like I said, my parents have lived down there for 10 years. not a trace.
But that's because
they didn't want to sound like they were from the South. They wanted to keep their Midwestern accent. So they decided not to do it. So,
And nobody does pizza better than the Midwest. Now, that's not on this list, but I'm going to just go out and say that.
Wow, that is a bold statement, my friend.
And I'm not just talking about Chicago. Detroit's got a great style of pizza. St. Louis has good pizza. And I don't say very nice things about St. Louis very often. You go into Madison and you're going to find a lot of great pizza places.
Yes, you are.
We do pizza a little bit better out here, I think.
I'm still on the fence with the Detroit style pizza.
Oh, my God.
I just learned about that recently. I'm like, what? Okay. It's kind of strange.
I'm going to be honest. I was just trying to give Detroit a shout out because I like Detroit. But yeah.
I do too, but. Pizza? No.
This is very weird for me to say. I would eat deep dish before that. And I am not a deep dish fan.
Right.
It's not a backyard barbecue or party without a game of cornhole.
That's getting to be more and more. I've noticed that now more recently. Yeah, I think that might be true. That one might be true.
I think so. I think that especially if it's a tailgate or anything like that.
Oh, yes.
And finally, as they have on, saying hello to your neighbor is a worthwhile use of your time. Yeah, that's a good one.
That's true. That's true.
And the other one on here, if you like Wisconsin, the best cheese is in Wisconsin, is from Wisconsin. And that is no matter where you are from in the Midwest.
I was going to say, there is no debate on this.
Yeah, yeah. Whether you are from Minnesota, are from Indiana,
Iowa, doesn't matter.
We all agree, but Wisconsin's
got the best cheese.
What I thought was kind of cool when I was in California, which claims themselves to be one of the bigger, they are one of the bigger dairy states.
They are, yeah.
And, they have a kind of almost a interesting, fun rivalry with Wisconsin when it comes to that. Everybody that I had that were Midwesterners that I knew out in California, none of them were from Wisconsin, but every one of them would come out of the woodwork as soon as there was a challenge to Wisconsin and their cheesedom. Because we all Midwesterners take pride in Wisconsin's ability, greatness at cheese.
Yes,
it's kind of funny, but it is one of those things. Like, we may fight on football teams, but as soon as that comes up, it's like, no, we'll defend each other.
Solidarity when that comes up. The Midwest kind of band together.
And it kind of, just to bring this whole thing full circle, one of the things that I think makes us so Midwesterner, it makes us that, what I was talking about before, about the way we treat each other and all is it is such a brothers and sisters kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah, we might pick on each other. We rip on each other. But God help you if you are an outsider and you pick on us.
Yep.
That, no, you can't do that.
Close ranks then. Yep.
And I like that. I'm proud of that.
Yeah.
As much as I'm just as proud of our rivalries, I'm as proud of that too. We'll take a quick commercial break, come back into our Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, and plenty more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, baby.
Are you telling me I should take that one out? Is that what you're telling me?
Something about that one, man. I don't like it. I like it.
I can take it out.
That one I don't mind. It's kind of like a little sultry kind of happy birthday. Yeah. I like that one. It is time to celebrate you with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. If you were hungry, treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Mm-hmm. And let them know, give them a heads up, we're going to be sending an August winner over there.
That's right.
We're drawing that right now. Seth, we have the best listeners in radio, and we appreciate so much when you guys get us these birthdays and anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us grab a qualifier, which at the beginning of every month, we put that list together, and we grab a name out of the hat, and that person or persons wins two meals, two lunches, and two pieces of pie from our friends at Misty's Menu.
Mm-hmm.
They've been doing this almost as long as WFHR has been in existence.
That's right.
We appreciate them so much from doing this.
Yep.
Keep getting us these birthdays and anniversaries, info@WFHR.com or James@WFHR. Like our Facebook page. You can direct message us your birthdays and anniversaries there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had, out of a possible 31 days, 30 entries last month.
That is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, that feels really
wonderful,
good, guys.
Yes.
Thank you so much for doing that, everybody. Keep that kind of great vibe coming, and all these names coming. We appreciate it so very much. But that does mean that I have to make my my co-host here work.
All right.
Seth, I need a number 1 through 30.
1 through 30. Let's see here. I'm going to run through the numbers quick. I'll do my own little spin in my head here, and we're going to end up on the number 19.
19, and that gives us...
That's my birthday in August. I thought 19.
All right. That gives us... us, Warren and Peggy Mertens.
Congratulations, Warren and Peggy.
Warren and Peggy Mertens.
You are winners. Yay. Yes. Yay. All right.
Warren and Peggy Mertens celebrated their anniversary on the 13th of August.
Very good. Lucky so, 13.
Yeah. We wish you guys another happy anniversary.
Yeah.
And if you're wondering why, and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, happy anniversary, it's because let them know that they also won Misty's.
Yes. You can celebrate it all over again at Misty's.
We're very happy that mm-hmm. I like it when any of our listeners win, but it mm-hmm. is kind of fun to see a anniversary come.
Anniversaries are always good. Yeah,
that's great.
That's very, very cool.
Warren and Peggy Mertens, you are our winners of the August Misty's menu.
Yes.
Now let's grab some qualifiers for September. These are our first qualifiers.
That's right.
And we got two names on the list today, so I need a one or a two from you.
Let's go with one today.
All right. That gives us our qualifier. So first up on the list, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Debbie Tamar.
Happy birthday, Debbie.
Debbie, enjoy your day. Hope it's a really good one for you.
Yeah.
And also celebrating a birthday, our qualifier today, one of my older friends, Trevor Dickey.
Trevor, happy birthday.
Trev is a great guy. He's a wild man. He is a very, very one of the more interesting people you will ever meet. If you know Trevor, you know what I'm talking about. And Trevor knows what I'm talking about.
That's good.
And I say that in a very positive, mm-hmm. Friendly way.
Yep.
Trevor and I have been friends a very long time. He is about the same size as me, like build-wise. He's mm-hmm. thin. He's tall. And this may surprise you with that. He's one of the best natural goalies I've ever seen.
Wow.
In hockey. He was
really?
Such a good goalie in hockey. So flexible. So just one of those guys willing to like just fall on the ice to just make a save or whatever.
Wow.
Great dad. Really, just a good guy. You can see Trevor a lot at a lot of the BMX matches and everything here in town and throughout the state. Him and his daughter do that quite a bit.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, good guy. Very good guy. Wish you a great day, Trev. Have a good one. We move on to our celebrity list.
Okay.
Zendaya is 26.
Wow, she's 26 now?
Yeah, I didn't. I guess that, that is a little old just because I thought she was so much younger than that.
Yes, well, because she does look younger, but she's been she's been on TV since she's a teenager, so it seems like she's been around for a long time.
She is the new MJ, Michelle Jones, in the Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yep.
I thought they did such a wonderful job with her name, where they were calling her Michelle the whole time, and it's not really towards the end of that first
movie,
that they call her MJ. And you're like, oh,
there's the MJ. Yep. They had to find some way to bring it in, but they had to keep it under the carpet for a little bit.
There's been a lot of great actresses to play that character over mm-hmm. the years, just like with Tom Holland, I feel like they got it right because they
did
the age. It's more about the age for mm-hmm. me than it is anything else. She's really, really good. She's very talented.
Yes. I'm sorry. There's also a television show. I can't remember
Euphoria.
What it's Euphoria that she has gotten. Like, I have not seen it, but I've heard rave reviews about her acting in that. She's very good in that.
She was really good in Dune also.
I forgot she was in that.
Very good in that. Yeah. And she's a bunch of other stuff too. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's just gonna keep working.
Oh,
she's
yes.
Very good. Very talented. Let's see here. Bianca Ryan is 28. She won the first season of America's Got Talent.
Okay.
I don't know anything else about her.
Me
I'm sorry.
Neither do
I don't ever watch that show.
Me neither.
Let's see here. Gloria Stefan is 65.
Ah, Gloria Stefan. What
Call
a voice.
Everybody now. Shake your body.
The Miami Sound Machine.
Rhythm is Gonna Get Ya. Mm-hmm. Conga. What I always think of with her, though, is that single Coming Out of the Dark. Because that one was the one where she has the horrible car accident.
Bus accident, I think, is what it was.
Yes,
yeah.
You're right. Correct. I'm sorry. And they didn't know if she'd perform again.
They didn't know if she could walk again.
Yeah.
She was really injured.
And that song, while I'm not a huge fan of the song, I think it's such a cool story of how she bounced back. And mm-hmm. she's, especially in the Miami area, man, she's still just as popular. Oh. I guess she was in the 80s.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Dr. Phil is 72. I can't do a Dr. Phil.
That's actually not a bad one, dude.
That was close.
It was okay.
He's not a real doctor, everybody.
Let's just put that out there.
I'm sorry.
If you're a doctor and
birthday, I'm not trying to be a jerk here. But.
Doctor and then your first name, not a doctor. Yeah. Not a doctor.
He's as much of a doctor as Dr. Dre.
I think Dr. Dre is more of a doctor than he is actually.
Might be. But, you know, I will say this. It's his birthday. His talk show, I'm sure that it, I know that it entertains a lot of people.
It does. It does.
And I'm sure that it's helped some.
I hope so. That's right. The hope, right?
In the law of averages, if he's had 100 guests, at least some of them have been helped. It's got to be. Remember, I'm really bad at this. I really am.
Don't. You're trying.
I'm just
going to
stop. Happy birthday, Dr. Phil. Phil. Happy birthday, Phil. I don't think I could call him Dr. Phil. I don't think I could.
Just call him Phil.
I got too much respect for like actual doctors. I don't really. I wouldn't do that with somebody like with like Tony Kornheiser as an honorary doctorate. I'm not going to call him a doctor. Yeah. You know? And I love Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, I know. Right? Maybe Colonel.
Maybe, yeah. Barry Gibb is 76, the last remaining Bee Gee.
That's right. Oh, happy birthday, Barry.
I'm not a Bee Gees fan, but I have all the respect for that band.
Their
creativity.
Their songwriting.
Yeah.
It has been remarkable throughout their long, long careers that the Bee Gees had, and then the whole family. I mean, really good songwriters.
Their stuff still holds up.
It does.
One of the greatest to ever do it, and no matter what we're talking about, Lily Tomlin is 83. Happy 83rd.
Bless
Lily
you,
Tomlin.
Lily Tomlin.
Yes. Now, Lily Tomlin has gotten some heat in recent years because she can be a bit difficult to work with at times. Mm-hmm. What they don't tell you is the directors that have had issues with her have had troubles with every female lead that they've ever worked with, especially strong female leads.
Hmm.
Some male directors, don't necessarily work very well with women.
It's very true.
It is an ugly part of the business, and it's the truth. I
got a long history, too, unfortunately. Yeah,
I was not on those sets, so I'm not trying to say I know word for word exactly what happened. I just know there's a lot of people that I do trust in the industry that were on one or two of those sets that I believe know where they're coming from. And regardless of that, incredible. I don't think anybody can question her talent, her skill. Whether it was her work on Laugh-In or 9 to 5 or her most recent stuff with Gracie and Frankie.
Yep.
Lily Tomlin
going
has been
strong.
Part of the public eye and been acting and doing comedy for, I want to say, 4 decades at least.
I don't know about you, James, and I think I know the answer to this. I think my first exposure to her was on Sesame Street.
Yep.
With, I can't remember the name of that character, but off the top of my head.
She's in the big chair.
Yep. Yeah, great. That's what I first remember about Lily Tomlin.
Very first memory, too.
Yep.
Yeah. One of my earliest memories of Sesame Street is that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, as a kid, we didn't know that she was Lily Tomlin.
We just thought
she was on the show.
And she was fun, yeah.
She's a fun character.
Yes.
Yeah. She's been entertaining us even longer than I realized.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about that, yeah. Then some people no longer with us. Bam Bam Bigelow, born on this day in 1961, passed away in 2007 when they were the WWF superstar.
Bam Bam Bigelow. It's one of my favorite names.
It's such a great name. He's the one that took on LT, Lawrence Taylor, at WrestleMania.
I do remember that.
It's such a weird memory to remember, but I do.
I didn't even know LT did WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I totally missed that when it happened.
You know, nowadays, Lawrence Taylor would probably go into a booth, you know, or on a set somewhere talking football or something like that. Mm-hmm. But at that point, that was still in that fringe area where these guys, so many of them were not ready to retire, but their body or whatever reason they had to
retire.
And
yeah.
What do you do next? And you got Vince McMahon sitting there with a checkbook. Hey, you know, let's do this. Yovana DiCarlo, born in Spain, 1922, passed away in 2007. She was Lily Munster on the Munsters.
Yes.
Gosh, she was amazing.
Yes.
Oh, I thought she was beautiful.
Yes, she was the one. I think a lot of boys of a certain age had a huge crush on her when that show came out in the 60s. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
Or even when you watch reruns later on,
now,
right?
I will say that I was more of an Addams Family guy.
Yep.
So Morticia for me, and especially like as great as every actress that's played Morticia in the movies has been fantastic and everything. The original is still like one of my biggest crushes still, really.
She was great.
She was awesome. Two really cool ones right here, kind of interesting to me, at least. Born in this day, Conway Twitty in 1933, passed away in 1993. Mm-hmm. Loretta Lynn's favorite duet partner.
Yep.
A great singer-songwriter.
Gajillion number one country hits. He had the record for a long time until, I believe, George Strait broke it like 10 years ago or something like that. Yeah.
And he shares a birthday with Boxcar Willie, born in this day in 1931, passed away in 1999. They were even born around each other, you know, in 33, 31,
yeah.
Similar time.
Oh, my gosh. What a name.
Is Boxcar Willie still the greatest musical name ever?
It's close.
It's got to be up there.
It's got to be up there, man.
It's got to be up there. I mean, you hear that name. Not only do you know what kind of music he plays.
Oh, yeah.
But you know you're in for a picking. You're in for some picking. You're in for a good time. You're going to have fun. You're going to enjoy the music. Country legend Boxcar Willie, born on this day.
Nice.
And one more for you. In my dad's opinion, there are Mount Rushmore of boxing. There are two that are you can't question. Mm-hmm. They stay there. They're not moving. It's Ali, and it's Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano, born on this day in 1923, passed away in 1969. Still one of the few undefeated boxers.
Yep.
But unlike Floyd Mayweather, and I would say this to his face, unlike Floyd, because I can land a punch.
You get one in, maybe.
I get one in, yeah, maybe. And as good as he is at dodging, I don't know. Because that's all Floyd Mayweather is. He's just a dodger. He is the epitome of Ali's rope-a-dope. He will wear you out, and he has made a great living at that.
He certainly has.
And all the credit to him for it.
Yeah.
But he did his run at a time, unlike Rocky Marciano, where he was going up against literally some of the greatest to ever do it, where Marciano was.
Mm-hmm.
So much of the argument they make about modern-day athletes today is, if you put Giannis Antetokounmpo into the basketball game of 1950, they would think he was an alien.
Yeah.
They didn't have guys that looked like that size, that strength, and that agility, that speed.
Mm-hmm.
I make that argument about the boxers of the old day in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
The technique, the fighting style, the way that these guys, the endurance that they had, so many of those things. The old boxers, to me, were so much more talented than so many of the boxers from, I'd say, 1990 on.
Mm.
And it's not to discredit the boxers of today or then.
It's a different game. It's a different way of fighting,
And a lot of the guys that used to go into boxing started going into basketball, football, those things. So mm-hmm. it really spread the sport. It's the same thing that when I was just complaining about American men's tennis. That's what's happened with that.
Yep.
Most guys that used to go into that sport, now they're going into baseball, basketball.
Something else, sports. Yep.
Yeah. Again, one more time, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Debbie Tamar.
Happy birthday.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Trevor Dickey. Happy birthday, Trev.
Happy birthday.
And one more time, we want to wish a very happy congratulations to our winner for the August Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club, Warren and Peggy Mertens.
Congratulations, you two. Have a second anniversary on Misty's.
Mm-hmm. Stick around for Melissa's news and head on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back. Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. Hope mm-hmm. you're having a great start to your day out there, everybody. Liking the bumper music.
Yeah. If you weren't awake before, you are now.
Yeah. We were just talking about Midwest and what it is to be a Midwesterner, what the rest of the country thinks is a Midwesterner, all mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Well, we're going to Iowa, where some, I believe, would consider a Midwesterner.
Well, that's probably the only one that doesn't have there's any argument about. I think Iowa's pretty solid in the Midwestern thing, yeah.
This comes to us from the AP and reported on by David Pitt. Nice job by David. Thank you to him. The small northwest Iowa city of Sheldon planned to make the opening of a time capsule one of the centerpiece events of its 150th anniversary this weekend.
Nice.
Hey, happy 150th anniversary. Congrats.
Sesquicentennial.
Yeah, nicely done by you. But it ran into a little bit of a problem. No one is sure where the time capsule is buried. Quote, "We're trying to find instructions on exactly where it's at before we just start digging," said Sheldon Chamber of Commerce Director Ashley Norble.
That's wise.
Yeah, good call, Ashley.
Yep, you're done.
"We think we know where it is, but to dig up concrete in the park, we have such a big event going on, we're just postponing that to a little bit later in the year."
Yeah.
The time capsule was buried 50 years ago during Sheldon's centennial celebration,
mm-hmm.
and over time, its specific location became a bit fuzzy. Event organizers had planned to open the time capsule during a town birthday celebration Friday morning, featuring birthday cake and coffee. Then they then planned to place the new items inside the capsule and rebury it.
Oh, cool.
Other events will go on as planned, with the time capsule unveiling delayed until workers can find it. Sheldon is a city with a population over 5,000, about 160 miles northwest of Des Moines. Was founded in 1872.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. You are never living that down, Sheldon.
Sorry, Sheldon.
No.
Sorry.
No. I could see it happening to just about anybody.
I think it is actually has happened in a few places, and it's not surprising because I don't know if they keep very good records. It's like, oh, we'll bury it here, and everyone will remember where we did it. Yeah, well, yeah, apparently not.
Now, I thought it would be interesting. I believe if I got this right, that there's some time capsule or something like that in our area.
Make sense. Yeah,
maybe I'm getting mixed up with Stevens Point. Because I know they did have a time capsule that they just opened. Like a 40-year-old time capsule in Stevens Point.
Yeah, I think it was Point. That's right.
I've always thought that was so much fun, the idea of the time capsule thing. Mm-hmm. But I want to be there around when they open one. Like I'll be completely honest. I don't have as much interest. It doesn't intrigue me as much as the creating one.
Yeah, okay.
That's like, that is what it is.
Yeah.
I love the idea of being around, like, when you're seeing one open. Like, that's really cool to me. That's almost archaeology, almost.
That's right.
Loosely, but yep. It feels like that to a degree. That's kind of cool.
I've also noticed there's this trend that usually when the time capsule's put in, we're going to open it 100 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually ends up being like 50. No, let's do it now.
Yeah. We will take our final break of the hour, come back, and get into some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Seth and James here with you. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Next hour, we're going to get into we have two kind of like longer topics to get into. We have Science Says the Best Songs to Listen to If You Are Trying to Fall Asleep.
Okay, nice.
And we also have the 13 best opening movie scenes of all time.
Mm.
So I want to get into both of those with you, Seth.
I already have some ideas for that one. If they're not on the list, I can tell you a couple myself.
Right on. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So we're going to just touch on a little bit of entertainment news right now, and especially because I can't wait another 15 minutes to talk about this.
Let's do it.
Right now, one of the big things on Twitter, Reddit, and that is the creators at SNL asked the kind of masses, hey, who do you want to see host Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, they've done this before, yeah.
Yeah, I think they've done a really good job doing that, too, because they've been having on a much, like, their ratings have shown this, that a lot of these guests that they're having on, even if they don't have a movie to promote or a song to promote, people still want to see them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's been very good. This is where it gets really fun, though, because while I've seen a lot of cool names thrown around, Jensen Ackles, I think, would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of other great ones. Carol Burnett is probably the biggest name that is being tossed around right now.
Wow.
Now, there was that internet campaign convincing people to have Betty White host.
I remember that.
And she did.
Yep.
She was only 88 when she hosted.
Only.
Only 88. Yeah, now, with Carol doing this, she would be the oldest host ever if it happens because she's 89.
Oh, wow. Wow.
SNL asked fans on Twitter who they'd like to see host, and Carol got an avalanche of support. It actually got her name trending, and unfortunately, there were a lot of people afraid that like something had happened to Carol Burnett, something
which
bad.
Which makes sense, yeah, right. That's usually when you see the name like that.
And it's really interesting that she would be the oldest host. Carol did appear briefly on SNL once during a 1985 episode hosted by, get this, Seth, Harry Anderson. From Night Court.
From Night Court, yeah.
I remember that episode.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't remember much about it, but I remember watching it. I was a huge, huge... Night Court is one of my top five favorite shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And Harry Anderson was one of the big reasons.
I still love Harry Anderson. He was one of the best.
I still think Harry's one of the few people that can make magic funny.
Yes.
Right. He did such a good job with that.
He was great.
He really was.
Yeah.
I love this idea. I think she'd kill it. She'd be great. I've seen Carol Burnett act here, and she was on the most recent Better Call Saul, and she was amazing on that. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see her getting a chance to do some dramatic work.
Plus, it's a natural... I mean, if you've never seen an episode of The Carol Burnett Show, do yourself a favor. Check it out. Go on YouTube to see a clip or two. The show was just... hilarious. It was one of the funniest things ever on television.
Sometimes I don't feel like I'm so much I don't have a co-host with you as so much as a co-brain.
It's true.
Because I did want to say this is so perfect because she actually, I actually don't think that it's not, I only think it's not only a good idea for the fans, I think it'd be a good idea for the cast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you're Kenan Thompson and you've been on that show for 20 years. You can learn from a Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to know how to do live comedy. Like, there are a handful of people in the world you go to. She's in that handful.
Yeah.
Not only because of, obviously, the great work she did, but I don't know if you'd have the success of a Saturday Night Live or other live shows without the success of the Carol Burnett Show.
I absolutely believe you are 100% right on that. Because, and the other thing that I've always found so amazing about the Carol Burnett Show is when she would take questions from the audience.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was not plants. It was actual people that would ask her certain things, or she would get, you know, letters that she would do, you know, do the Tarzan call, you know, or whatever they asked her to do. She was so good at that. She was so fast, so funny. I mean, she's one of the best.
I was talking about great tandems in comedy the other day with the current show that you are a part of course, playing Oscar in The Odd Couple for WRCT.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
With of course Tim playing Felix.
Yep.
Which you two are going to kill it. You're going to be amazing at it. I mentioned
it's gonna be fun.
Matthau and Lemon, you know, I think of them as very much the Redford and Newman of comedy.
Comedy, right, yeah.
I think you can make an argument that Corman and Conway are also that, just on maybe the TV level.
I could not agree with you more.
There's been so many, even the TV show of The Odd Couple, that casting were a great
Klugman
tandem.
And Randall. Oh, yeah. They were so good.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
Roman Randall, so underrated. But I'm sorry. I mean, doing the live thing along with the chemistry those two had, Corman and Conway, two of my bigger influences as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it only pales because of how much I looked up to Carol Burnett.
Yep.
I've never in my life seen a better improv artist than Carol Burnett.
Yes.
I don't. There's been greats. Nothing but greats. Good luck coming up with just five. Because you're gonna be like me. I'm like, oh, but who? Oh, but this person. Oh, but this person.
They had two people on there. Tim Conway is still one of the most amazing improvisers I have ever seen in my life. Just watch Harvey Korman.
Yeah.
Because he would do things that were not in the script, and poor Harvey, he tried so hard not to break, but he couldn't help it.
It get me every
It wasn't
time.
His fault. It wasn't his fault.
You got to go up against Tim Conway. You got to work with that. Yes. Tim Conway's too good. He's funny.
He's too good.
Vicki Lawrence doesn't get her due, but God, she was great on that show.
Yes.
Yeah, she was really good.
I'm even going to give a shout out to the straight man, Lyle Wagner, who was kind of the forgotten man, because he was always the straight, you know, the handsome straight guy kind of thing.
Yeah,
but he added a lot to the show, too. James and I could talk forever about Carol Burnett, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah, it was a great one, though. It was just one of those shows that really stands that still holds up.
It still does.
It's there's not a lot of shows we can say that about.
No, you can't.
We're going to wrap up the hour with a That Ain't Right story, and this is a doozy. There have been stories about how people abuse 911 in ridiculous situations, but this may be the most of them all. A woman in Ohio was at a 24-hour gym earlier this week at 3 a.m. She was using an inversion table to work on her back when something went wrong and it flipped her upside down in a position where she couldn't get out.
Oh, no.
She was completely stuck, and there was no one else in the room. At least one other person that was at the gym, but he was in another area and couldn't hear her. So after failing to free herself, she called 911 on her smartwatch.
Okay.
The cops showed up and rescued her, and since she's been filming herself working out, she posted the video of the embarrassing situation on TikTok. Way to be like okay. I'm actually
good
not
way to own
make
that.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm not going to make fun of her about that
of
it. The woman said she had a headache and felt fuzzy after, but otherwise she was okay. She also said that she'd only do an inversion table in the future if there was another person there. But I want to know if the cops gave her, because you can make the argument there is a little bit of a life and death situation with blood rushing to your head.
Possible,
but I don't know if I would call that an emergency, and I dang sure wouldn't feel comfortable calling the police about it.
No.
That feels very that ain't right.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It sounds like the officers handled this very cool.
Right.
I don't know if they had to, though.
Can we say something a little? If it's a 24-hour gym, I mean, you should have more people. to there to help. You'd still think there should be someone there that works at the gym that would be able to help someone in that situation.
That's where a gym assistant should be helping out, not one of our officers have much more important things to be doing. That means just sitting around filling out paperwork, it's a lot better than having to run and help out, you know, her.
As someone who's stuck in an exercise machine.
Just being a knucklehead. I mean, come on. And it's the gym, I think, that is the that ain't right of this story.
I agree completely.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got plenty more to get into to take you into a final hour of the morning show right here on
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.